The last number of weeks, we've been sharing messages that, in summary, love works. We know that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, God is love, and His love works in us. His love works for us. His love works through us. The fact is, love is always with us as well. That's our God. The Bible says God is love. But in Matthew chapter 1:23, the angel's message was, look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Well, why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, God is with us. That means God is with you and God is with me. God is with us. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, we all, I'm sure, if I can say it like this, we all have what I would call mountaintop experiences. When everything's going good, we delight in those times when everything's going good. We like it when all our bills are paid. We like it when there just doesn't seem to be any turmoil throughout the day. The house is looked after. The trimmings are all done. The food is all prepared. We like it when everything is good. In fact, I always say to people, and you've heard me, many of you that have been around us long enough now, I'll ask you, how are things going? Well, I'm good. And I usually ask, how good? Do you hear that often? One of the reasons for that, especially when you're talking to young people, they like to give you one-word answers. And I like to kind of pull it out of them a little bit. And some of you adults are the same thing. I just got to pull it out of you a little bit. Praise God. So when we're good, somebody asks me, and my wife gets after me every now and again, because I'll say, I'm pretty good, not too bad, and okay. Well, I figure that covers all the bases. You know. And you know, I you hear many, they'll say, well, I'm in Jesus, I'm always good. Yes, you are. But the fact is, God is with us, not just on the mountaintops, but He's with us in the valleys when things don't seem to be going so good. Jesus said it like this: in this world you will have tribulation. In fact, He also said that offenses will come. But just because we go through stuff doesn't mean that we can't have joy in those valley experiences. We enjoy God on the mountaintops, but the place that we get to know Him the best, the way that we get to know Him intimately the best, is in the valley experiences. In Psalm chapter 84 goes, blessed are those whose strength is in You, whose heart are set on pilgrimage. Verse 6, as they pass through the valley of Baca. What? Well, Baca when I was... No. That word Baca actually means weeping. During the valley of weeping, as they pass through the valley of weeping, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains are also cover it with pools. So they go from strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Huh. The Passion Translation says it like this: how enriched are they who find their strength in the Lord. Within their hearts are the highways of holiness, and even their paths wind through the dark valley of tears. They dig deep to find a pleasant pool where others find only pain. He gives them a brook of blessing filled with the rain of an outpouring. They grow stronger and stronger with every step forward, and the God of all gods will appear before them in Zion. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think and live like God is always with you? If God is with you, and He is, then how can you draw near to Him during those seasons? You gotta go where the strength is. Where is the strength? The strength is in the Lord. He is the very strength of our life. And during those times, those are the times that we just need to draw near to God. Bible, James actually said, James, who is, by the way, the half-brother of Jesus, says it like this: draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Can you imagine that God, Almighty God, gives you the privilege to draw close to Him? How do we do that? Well, one way is to take some time out of your day to just be quiet and just talk to Him. Pour out your heart and your soul to Him. Another way is to read your Bible. When I was growing up, we had a little song that went like this: read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, 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 and you'll grow, 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 and you'll grow, grow, grow. That doesn't sound like I'm growing, does it? But that's the fact is, when we take some time to intentionally spend some time with God, He is with you, and you are with Him. Not just on the mountaintops, but He's also with us in the wildernesses. Your deepest need becomes a gift when it drives you to depend on God. In 1 Kings, there's a story, 1 Kings 19. Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life and he came to Beersheba in Judah and he left his servant there. Verse 4 says, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord. Elijah says, I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. Verse 5, all at once an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around and there by his head was some bread cakes over hot coals and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and then laid down again. And so the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat. Listen to this. For the journey is too much for you. He got up. He ate and drank, strengthened by that food. He traveled 40 days and nights until he had reached Horeb. Can you imagine being fed by the angel of God? God must have loved him an awful lot. And just like he took care of Elijah in the wilderness, in the places where you walk that seem like a wilderness, that seems like heaven is abandoning you, he really hasn't. Even during those times, like Elijah was obviously depressed. But God had something more for him. And when Elijah actually took the time to get up, to get up, to get up and eat, he was strengthened by that food. God is with you to strengthen you, and you will receive the food that He offers you if you take it. He had to get up. He had to take it Himself. And when God gives you a word during those times when you're not feeling so good, God gives you a word, it's a good thing to hang on to that word and to feast on that word or to think on that word. Praise God. Psalm 34 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. The wilderness may be a place of practice on waiting on God. Even when you don't feel him, the song says, he's working. Even when you don't see him, he's working. For he is with you. Psalm 139, verse 7 goes like this. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Yes, God is with you in the valley, in the wilderness, but God is with you in the storm. Paul the Apostle found himself on a boat. They had gone a long time without food. Paul the Apostle in Acts chapter 27 stands up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have been spared this damage and loss. But I urge you, verse 22, I urge you now to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. See, he receives a word from God. Only this ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of God to whom I belong. Did you notice? Paul says, I belong to God. And the one whom I served stood beside me. That just shows you how close God is. Even in a boat. Imagine God being with him outside of a church setting. We tend to think that that's the only time when God's presence is here. But the fact is, Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul tells Timothy, he says, everyone deserted me, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. Psalm 16 says, I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. What a testimony. What a testimony. Never let the presence of a storm, never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. Peace isn't found in the absence of a storm. Peace is found in the presence of a good God. And when you know God as your personal Lord and Savior, he's promised to be with you. In John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because they neither see him or know him. But you know him, for he lives in you. He lives with you and will be in you. And then he says in verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. That's what he says. I think that's awesome. In Matthew 28, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I command you. For surely I am with you always. And he doesn't stop there. He says, even to the very end of the age. That's Matthew 28. Even to the end of the age. Now the angel of the Lord gave that message that we read earlier to Joseph before Jesus was born. And she, Mary, will have a son. That's how the angel puts it. Will have a son. Have a son. And you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. All this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message that was given through his prophet. Verse 23, look, the virgin will conceive a child and she will give birth to a son. You imagine the angel speaking this and there's no ultrasound. There's nothing, medically speaking, that points to a fact that she's going to have a child, because the angel is speaking it to Mary of something that is going to transpire. This thing in you will be conceived of the Holy Spirit. You see. And they will call him Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Matthew 1, verse 21. He's with us in the valley. He's with us in the wilderness. He's with us in the storm. And he is always with us. And I have to say, I haven't found in any place in this world, is there a God in all the world that has ever said, I will be with you. Think about that. There was no room in Bethlehem, no room in the inn for Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. And an innkeeper made room. Jesus went through an awful lot for you and I. What will you do for him? Will you make room in your life for him? Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so that begins the journey of having a relationship with God. You may be here and you don't know God. In fact, I always say to people, are you on talking terms with God? They go, some people, especially if they don't know Jesus. Talking terms with him? Yes. Because this thing is not just about church. It's not about coming to church. It is about a relationship with God. And Jesus, what he did, he made a way. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That communication was broken between God and man at that point when sin entered the world. And Jesus came to restore. Emmanuel, God with us, came to seek and save those which were lost and without him. He wanted to restore that broken relationship. Everybody knows about broken relationship. Everybody knows. But does everybody know about a restored relationship? Jesus came to bring life and more abundantly. On mountaintops, yes. But in the valleys, in the wilderness, through those times that we find ourselves in a storm. Behold, Jesus said, I am with you always. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have this time to remember Jesus coming as a baby. We wouldn't have his death without having his birth. He had to come as a baby in order to die for us. And then it wasn't enough for him to die for us, but he rose again the third day according to the scripture. I ask, Heavenly Father, that you would speak to every one of our hearts and life, that during this season, we will make room. We will make room for you. You are with us. You are always with us. But open our eyes so that we'll see that you are with us. Open our ears that we'll hear you talking to us. That you will help us on this journey. And you may be here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And if that is you, you've never made him Lord. Just put your hand up and then you can put it down again. a wonderful thing to have a relationship with God. You may decide, well, I really do want this relationship. You can always talk to me afterward. And you can do so in your home. You can say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin, for paying the penalty for my sin. I received your work in my life. Thank you for forgiving me of all of my sin, cleansing me from all unrighteousness. I desire to be your child. I desire to walk with you and have a relationship with you. Thank you for this in Jesus' name. And should you decide to do that at home, one of the best things you can do is tell somebody that you have taken him as personal Lord and Savior. And so begin your walk with God.
Let's stand and sing this final song together.
For the service, for each one that sung and done their part. Thank you for the very fact that you are with us. I ask as we go our separate ways that you would mark our steps. The Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I'm asking you to direct our steps, direct our pathway, and give us the strength that we need to walk through the valley, to walk through the wilderness, to walk through the storm. Thank you that you are with us. Bless us in our going out and our coming in and our rising up and our sitting down. In Jesus' name, amen.